always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Texas Governor Greg Abbott chartered a flight to ship 120 undocumented migrants to Chicago.
Governor Abbott claimed responsibility for the charter flight, saying Sanctuary City Chicago started obstructing and targeting our busing mission. Texas will now expand our operation to include flights to Chicago. Until Biden steps up to secure the border, we will continue to provide overwhelmed Texas border towns with much-needed relief.
ABC's Liz Nagy, the administration's supplemental funding request currently being haggled over by Senate negotiators, has $14 billion in it for the border. 10 Americans waking up in freedom this morning, back in the U.S. after a prisoner swap with Venezuela. A federal judge in Pittsburgh sentenced self-proclaimed white supremacist Hardy Carroll Lloyd to more than 6 years in prison for making threats against the jury and witnesses in the trial of the Tree of Life synagogue massacre shooter who was previously sentenced to death. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden was in Wisconsin Wednesday touting the benefits of his plan to strengthen the economy. He was at the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce.
Milwaukee business applications are up 70% compared before the pandemic. The share of black people employed in Milwaukee in 2022 was the highest in more than a decade.
The president says since taking office, black employment in Milwaukee is the highest in more than a decade. The Republican district attorney in Sheboygan County is appealing a Dane County judge's ruling that an 1849 law bans feticide and not consensual abortions. Joel Ermansky also questions whether Attorney General Josh Call had standing to bring the lawsuit that led to the Dane County ruling. Ermansky says he wants the case to be brought directly to the state Supreme Court. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers get ready for the Panthers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers travel to Carolina this weekend to face the struggling 2-12 Panthers. Despite losing to the Giants and the Buccaneers, is there any chance the Packers could overlook Carolina? Jordan Love.
I mean, I don't think, you know, bouncing back after two losses, I definitely don't think we're going to be underestimating anybody. So, you know, I think we're going to come out Sunday with our best foot forward. You know, I think just the stretch of games we've had, losing two tough ones, we're ready to bounce back, and we're definitely not about to take this game for granted.
NBA, the Bucks play the Orlando Magic tonight at Fiserv Forum, then leave on a road trip. We'll have them playing the Knicks in New York on Christmas Day. Bobby Portis asks if he's finished his holiday shopping.
I ain't even put a tree up this year. Like, at the crib, like, I don't even have a tree up because on the 22nd, which is Friday, we leave. And, you know, obviously, you know, I ain't going to be able to open no presents under my tree. I ain't going to have my presents just sitting at the crib under the tree.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 38 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We could see a little light rain, snow, maybe even a little freezing drizzle after midnight. Our low down to 30. Tomorrow, cloudy, scattered showers with a high right around 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
From her mouth to the field's ears, this is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Matter of fact, that's one story I'm bringing to you this morning. Those field's ears of corn in 2024 might see some new technology buzzing over the top of them. We've seen drones become a big part of Wisconsin agriculture, and it looks like it's going to be on stage even more in 2024. Our own Stephanie Hoff visiting with Finn Johnson, who is a member of a drone club in Madison that sees all kinds of promise for small and medium farms when it comes to drone applications. He'll share that story on a Thursday. Welcome in, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke. Tickled to have you join us. Weather-wise, not as much sunshine today as we had yesterday, but we're still above average as far as temperatures. Cloudy skies on the way for your Thursday. 41 are expected high. Winds today out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. For tomorrow, afternoon showers are a real possibility. 45 are expected high during the day. Saturday, cloudy skies and 47. Sunday, afternoon showers again redeveloping. 55 the expected high on Sunday. And then Christmas Monday. Looks like it's going to be a dreary one. 80% chance of rain on Christmas. 50 are expected high. We'll see if Stumacher Ag Meteorologist concurs with that. Also, don't forget, it's a Thursday. Katie Burgess from the EverAg crew is going to join us. We've got some bleak prices out there as far as Wisconsin dairy is concerned. We'll find out when Katie thinks the ship might turn around. Stick around.
There goes Pam Youngke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And from Farm First Dairy Cooperative, serving dairy farmers across the Midwest since 2013. Farm First Dairy Cooperative, member-focused, member-driven, member-led. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Twitter.
With the demand for fresh produce out there, we've come up with some unique ways to keep that production up and keep people full of those fresh vegetables. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. I was at the 96th National FFA Convention and exploring the Expo Center when I came across Freight Farms. And I was able to chat with Robbie Domenico. He's the manager of branding for Freight Farms. And I asked him about Freight Farms and what are they all about?
Yeah, so Freight Farms, we are all about creating modular, vertical, hydroponic farms. The mission of our company is to democratize access to food. So we're really trying to eliminate food deserts. What we do as a company is we create the hardware and the technology, and then we put it in the hands of those who want to use it, that are part, who also believe in the mission that our company does as well.
And what is some of that hardware that goes into putting together a freight farm?
So first you got to start with a giant shipping container. So it's a 40-foot standard shipping container, one that you'd see like on the back of a freight or at a port, etc. So that is great because it makes it pretty easy to transport. Not only that, but they are extremely insulated. So with the insulation that's within the walls, as well as the HVAC system that is a part of the hardware that makes it a controlled environment agriculture farm, it can function within temperatures as low as negative 40 degrees all the way up to 120 degrees. So we're really looking for this to be a solution to growing food in places where you otherwise couldn't.
We talked about the box. That's what we see. What are some of the special features inside to help those vegetables grow?
Yeah, so the greenery, which is the name of our flagship container farm, is comprised of basically two different stations. The first one, when you first walk into the farm, is the nursery station. That's where you're going to grow all your seedlings before they are ready to go into our second area, which is the cultivation area. That's where they grow to maturity. So at the nursery station, there's two troughs, and that's where you put your seeds in 100 and big cell trays. And you put them in the troughs. It's an ebb and flow system, so water will rise and sink about three times a day to soak those plugs and give them the water and nutrients that they need. Because it's hydroponics, there's no soil involved, so all the nutrients are soluble in the water. So this whole farm, basically, from the cultivation area to the nursery, it's all the plants are getting all their nutrients from the water system.
And let's talk nutrients. How do they go into the system?
So we have different nutrient dosing tanks. We have for the nursery and the cultivation area. Basically, you're going to want to calibrate your system because not only do we have hardware, we have software that helps run the farm. So we got farmhand software, and basically that's reading all the levels of your farm at all times, and it helps you to control all the different factors. So that system is constantly checking on your nutrient levels that are in your water. We have nutrient sensors that the water passes through before it hits the plants, and whatever you have programmed in the software to what you're growing, essentially those sensors are going to read the water before it hits the plants and say, ooh, you're low on EC, we need to add a little bit more, or, you know, your pH is too high, let's even it out a little bit, so that you have optimized conditions at all times, allowing you to grow like 365 days a year consistently.
And we jumped right to the nutrients. We didn't even talk about the water usage here. How much does it take to grow a lettuce or whatever's in the truck at the moment?
Yeah, so basically in the cultivation area, there are four walls. Each of those walls, you can harvest about 1,000 heads of lettuce per week. What's great about our system is it's really water efficient. On average, it uses about 5 gallons of water a day. And that is because the HVAC system captures extra moisture. The gutters underneath our vertical farming structures, our walls, the gutters capture extra water. And with a slight tilt of gravity, it's going to roll its way back into the tank. And like I said, then it goes back through that system where it's going to optimize that water with nutrients so that your plants are always getting what they need.
Are there any other benefits that you can see out there other than, hey, we can grow something just about anywhere?
Yeah, I've seen this a lot of benefits in like institutional and nonprofit sectors. So when a school gets a farm, at first they're like, cool, we can grow lettuce on campus. But then that ends up fueling their dining hall. And then they end up having STEM programming in different classes and agriculture and horticulture, all in greenhouse classes using this farm. And then not only that, they're giving student tours. They're giving tours to like investors and everything. And it's just like a really, it's a really cool piece of equipment that these places have on their campus that's making an impact. Boys and Girls Club is probably one of the best examples. They run a whole farmers market that the kids run. The kids harvest and grow all of the lettuce. They get emotional learning as well out of it, learning to work with plants and like turn them into paints or all different kinds of artful activities that you can do using the plants as well. So it's really, for a container, the possibilities are kind of uncontained, if you will.
What are some of the challenges you've seen with the freight farm?
So I think a lot of the challenges come from, number one, hydroponics is still fairly new in the ecosystem, just in society in general. A lot of people are unfamiliar, and especially when you're trying to zone for one of these bad boys, they're like, so it's a freight, but it's a farm. You're growing food? You're putting it in an alleyway? Like, A lot of local governments still don't really understand. So what we as a company are also trying to do is educate the public, educate about the zoning and the requirements that go with it. Basically, you need electricity, water, and Wi-Fi to run one of these bad boys. But I think that's one of the challenges is like just the lack of education around hydroponics in general.
And we've talked about the nutrients and we talked about the water usage. And you mentioned Wi-Fi. What about electricity? Does it take a lot to keep this going?
So yeah, electricity with any controlled environment agriculture from warehouses to smaller scale, I think that's like the Achilles heel of the industry. It's what everyone in the industry is working towards is energy efficiency. I mean, if you just think about it in like basics, this whole entire hardware is running LED lights. It's got Wi-Fi. It's running software. It has an HVAC. Of course, it's like you're running a small office, essentially. So you're it's gonna require energy. The benefits are that it is extremely water positive. You can grow a lot of food, but unfortunately, like it has a higher energy consumption. But there are also ways to, you know, get around that. If you run your lights at night and avoid like high peak energy costs, that's a way to save. A lot of our farmers have been experimenting with solar hydropowering their farms next to a river. So we like to work with our customers to come up with the best solutions, because this is a product that could change a lot. And so it's really awesome to have a customer base of over 600 farmers in all 50 states, 41 countries, and we're all working together on the same mission of just trying to democratize access to food, get rid of food deserts. Everyone deserves access to fresh food.
We're right into my next thing. You mentioned lettuce. What are some of the other crops that you can grow in here?
So if you are getting a freight farm, we absolutely recommend starting with lettuces and leafy greens. It's probably the most efficient crops that you can grow in here, but there are many others. What I usually say is anything but a tree. So you can grow, which take that with a grain of salt, but you can grow root vegetables from carrots to turnips to beets to radishes. So you can grow pumpkins, little baby pumpkins. You can grow cucumbers, tomatoes, edible flowers, fun things called buzz buttons, which are basically like, I think, the buds of Szechuan peppers that you like shave onto cocktails. Oh, you can grow peppers too. That's another one.
It sounds like the possibilities are endless. But another question, what about harvesting? Can you reuse plants, or are you always new plant to new plant?
It depends on the plant. If you were growing a big head of lettuce, I would recommend you just harvest the entire thing out with the plug, because then your plant is technically still alive. It has its root system on it and its structure, and that will last way more than other lettuce in your fridge. Like, I've had lettuce brought home from our office that has lasted over a month in our fridge, which is crazy bananas. But then if you're growing like a leafy green, like arugula, you can basically keep the panel right up on the wall, put a bucket underneath it, and just take a machete and shoop, trim it. Trim it about like 2 to 3 times. You don't want to do it too much. It's going to start to like lose its luster. But yeah, that's a nice way to also do like a quick harvest turnovers. If you have like leafy greens or herbs, you can trim them instead of harvesting them to really keep that consistency going.
And from harvesting, I'm going to ask you about the taste. We get the same kind of taste that we get in traditional farming.
Oh, man. To me, it's night and day. I've had arugula that we've grown in the farm, and it is so incredibly peppery compared to grocery store arugula. It is insanely good. And, like, the mustard greens that we've grown in the farm, put that on a turkey sandwich. I've also just taken a turnip right out of the wall and eaten it like an apple. I would never do that with a turnip ever in my life, but it was so sweet and crisp and like almost refreshing, and I would never use those words to describe a turnip.
Sounds to me like the water and the nutrients work together to provide a good product or tasty product. What do you think?
I would agree, and I would also throw the lights in there as well, because we got red spectrum and blue spectrum lights, which combined with the nutrients and the water cycle, you can really customize the texture and flavor of the crops that you're growing.
So even though this is new technology to me, how long have you been around and sharing the Freight Farms?
So Freight Farms has been around for about 10 years. It's come a long way since our first farm. This greenery is now like the most advanced modular hydroponic farm on the market right now. So it's really cool to see where Freight Farms has come.
Maybe I'll be seeing more of these Freight Farms around. Thanks for spending some time. And that was Robbie Domenico, Manager of Branding for Freight Farms. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Pam is the name. Farm speak is the game. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Yeah, let us speak a little bit about what's coming our way weather-wise for this Thursday. Our man, Stu Mock, ag meteorologist, joining us this morning. I guess the pattern is continuing as we expected, Stu. I mean, we're going to be warmer again today. Not as much sun. I am kind of curious, though, about what's going on with this rain pattern and what kind of volume we're looking at. I'm looking at stories from across the United States. There's some folks that didn't expect to be hit with as much heavy rainfall as they got. What's in store for us?
Well, I think you're hearing those stories from the West Coast and the East Coast. We're not going to be talking about inches of rain, nothing like that. We're not going to be flooded out. But I wouldn't be surprised by rain amounts, at least on through Friday night into early Saturday, that could push up near a quarter of an inch. Not a real big deal. Our ground not frozen completely, so there's a chance that moisture can actually soak in. And along with some very mild temperatures, I mean daytime highs, that could push toward records by Monday. And temperatures that aren't going to cool much at night, we may not have a major icing issue either. But it's all mild air, and I'll have the forecast details right after this.
Wow. 2023 has been quite the year for Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for Judy, Lisa, Scott, and the crew at Bavaria Sausage. All those smiling faces you see behind the counter when you walk in the door at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 5, of course, observing the holidays. Always available online at BavariaSausage.com. Or if you're looking for something special, hey, that's what they're all about. When it comes to authentic flavors, give them a call. 800-733-6695. That's 800-733-6695. All the folks at Bavaria Sausage sincerely want to thank you for your business in 2023 and encourage you to check back often for all the new products that are coming online in 2024. From everyone at Bavaria Sausage Kitchen, happy holidays. And here's to a brand new year. All right, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, that big blocking high over the southeast U.S. will channel some moisture from the Gulf of Mexico north. Watch a warm front try to push on into Wisconsin, and that's why I expect we're in for more of a mostly cloudy day. Even a slight rain chance in far southern Wisconsin by late afternoon. Low 40s today, east winds 5 to 10. Cloudy skies, some fog, maybe a little drizzle late tonight as we hold in the mid-30s with the southeast winds at 5. Clouds, fog, a little drizzle Friday morning, some rain developing later in the day, but up in the mid-40s with the southeast winds around 5. And the rain then through Friday night, Pam, like I say, a tenth, maybe a quarter of an inch. By Saturday, mostly cloudy, upper 40s. And by Sunday, a pretty good chance for all of us to see a 50 and maybe a little afternoon rain.
All right, so now we're just thinking Christmas Day, it won't be big, big rain. It'll be soggy, no. But it'll be big, big.
It'll be soggy, tenth of an inch or two, you know, just enough to keep it wet.
All right. And that's everybody. I mean, pretty much across the state. I'm trying to think ahead for people traveling Christmas Day.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have too big of a problem. And temperatures aren't cold enough that it's going to freeze.
Right,
so
right.
They're just dealing with rain.
All right. Well, I'll catch up with you tomorrow and see if you change your tune going into the weekend. OK.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, catching up with us for your Thursday morning forecast. And like you said, you rainfall reporters, looks like you'll be called into duty yet again. And don't forget that talk text line, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Drones in our farm fields for 2024. And Katie Burgess from EverAg, that's all on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes... Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Todd Almost Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say it, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship, right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power. Our veterans.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed. I'm flabbergasted. I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles. Those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now, if I were going to try any of them, it would be... Okay, and this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Texas Governor Greg Abbott chartered a flight to ship 120 undocumented migrants to Chicago.
Governor Abbott claimed responsibility for the charter flight, saying Sanctuary City Chicago started obstructing and targeting our busing mission. Texas will now expand our operation to include flights to Chicago. Until Biden steps up to secure the border, we will continue to provide overwhelmed Texas border towns with much-needed relief.
ABC's Liz Nagy, the administration's supplemental funding request currently being haggled over by Senate negotiators, has $14 billion in it for the border. 10 Americans waking up in freedom this morning, back in the U.S. after a prisoner swap with Venezuela. A federal judge in Pittsburgh sentenced self-proclaimed white supremacist Hardy Carroll Lloyd to more than 6 years in prison for making threats against the jury and witnesses in the trial of the Tree of Life synagogue massacre shooter who was previously sentenced to death. This is ABC News.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden was in Wisconsin Wednesday touting the benefits of his plan to strengthen the economy. He was at the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce.
Milwaukee business applications are up 70% compared before the pandemic. The share of black people employed in Milwaukee in 2022 was the highest in more than a decade.
The president says since taking office, black employment in Milwaukee is the highest in more than a decade. The Republican district attorney in Sheboygan County is appealing a Dane County judge's ruling that an 1849 law bans feticide and not consensual abortions. Joel Ermansky also questions whether Attorney General Josh Call had standing to bring the lawsuit that led to the Dane County ruling. Ermansky says he wants the case to be brought directly to the state Supreme Court. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers get ready for the Panthers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers travel to Carolina this weekend to face the struggling 2-12 Panthers. Despite losing to the Giants and the Buccaneers, is there any chance the Packers could overlook Carolina? Jordan Love.
I mean, I don't think, you know, bouncing back after two losses, I definitely don't think we're going to be underestimating anybody. So, you know, I think we're going to come out Sunday with our best foot forward. You know, I think just the stretch of games we've had, losing two tough ones, we're ready to bounce back, and we're definitely not about to take this game for granted.
NBA, the Bucks play the Orlando Magic tonight at Fiserv Forum, then leave on a road trip. We'll have them playing the Knicks in New York on Christmas Day. Bobby Portis asks if he's finished his holiday shopping.
I ain't even put a tree up this year. Like, at the crib, like, I don't even have a tree up because on the 22nd, which is Friday, we leave, and, you know, obviously, you know, I ain't going to be able to open no presents under my tree. I ain't going to have my presents just sitting at the crib under the tree.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast...
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 38 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We could see a little light rain, snow, maybe even a little freezing drizzle after midnight. Our low down to 30. Tomorrow, cloudy, scattered showers with a high right around 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
This is certainly a step in the right direction this year.
Hang on to your tractors. Here's another update. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Cloudy skies on the way for our Thursday. We'll top out around 41 today. The breeze a little on the light side out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, good chance of rain in the forecast, 45. Saturday, clouds and 47 degrees. Katie Burgess, one of the broker analysts with EverAg, joining us live on a Thursday morning. She's up in about 15 minutes. I'm Pam Youngke. Glad you're along with us. So today is the 21st day of December. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, back in 1937, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was released. It was the world's first full-length animated feature film. It was based on a German fairy tale by the same name, by the Brothers Grimm. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, released in Los Angeles on this day back in 1937. Happy birthday to comedian actor Ray Romano, 66 years young. Samuel Jackson, he's 75 today. And there she is, Jane Fonda, 86 years young and still going. Happy birthday. And now you know. Well, we know new technology is coming to Wisconsin farm fields in 2024. What's it going to look like, though? That's a good question. Stephanie Hoff brings us one glimpse.
Madison Area Drone Service says the busy time for buying drones is now. And this is because after the rush of harvest, now is the time that growers can sit down and explore how a drone might make their life easier for the next growing season. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Finn Johnson joins us. He's an ag business manager at Madison Area Drone. He advises you to make a decision soon on whether or not you want a drone on the farm so that you can be ready to operate it by spring. He says there are a few tasks that drones are really useful for.
So where we see a lot of people showing interest in this is in cover crop seeding and fungicide applications. So with a traditional applicator like a tall boy trying to do cover crop seeding for corn or soybeans, at the optimal time for cover crop seeding, your crops are going to be really tall and you're going to be damaging the pollination cycle or just damaging the crops with the ground equipment. The benefit of drones is it's always flying above the crops no matter how high they are. So we're going to prevent the pollination damage cycle. We're going to prevent damaging the stalks of the crops. In precision applying fungicides, you want to be able to identify and precision apply these chemicals to your field, and that's where drones are really uniquely equipped.
Crop protection, but also some price protection there, right?
The whole idea is applying precisely. So if you wanted to look into the full cycle of things, you can send a scout drone up into the air and map out your whole property on a daily, weekly basis, however many periods is convenient or however many times you expect things to change. And then based on that information, that eye in the sky that you just got, you can then apply the precise amount of product to areas that you see and can identify as in need of that product.
So Finn, tell me, what is the typical size of farm that turns to drone technology?
It's going to be mid to smaller size farms. If you have 3,000-4,000 acres in Iowa, row crops, it's flat. An air tractor, traditional fixed wing aircraft, is always going to be more efficient, at least currently. So for those mid-size farmers to smaller farmers, that's where we see people really starting to be interested in these things, because if you have property that is, let's say, the topography is hilly, or you have jagged boundaries where a traditional manned aircraft is going to have trouble coming down low, spraying where it needs to get sprayed, and then pulling up in time. Drones are just like a helicopter. They're hovering in place, but unlike a traditional helicopter, that downdraft is not so powerful that it's going to be damaging to your crops, and it obviously costs a lot less than a helicopter. So that's kind of where we see people seeing the benefits of this new technology.
What kind of training does someone need to have before they fly one of these things?
The cutoff to needing a lot of extra licenses is above 55 pounds fully loaded with the aircraft and the payload. So for most applicators, we're going to need what's called a Part 107, and that's just a federal license. I'd say it takes about 2 weeks to get, studying an hour per day. And then after that, you're going to need a Part 137 exemption, and that's a bit more of an involved process. We recommend people go through a qualified law firm, or if they have friends in the area who have done it that can recommend that process or that particular law firm, we always recommend that. And then based on the state you're in, each state has different aerial applicator laws associated with spraying chemicals from any aerial vehicle. So in Wisconsin, you can go through the UW-Madison system to get your license for that. But again, if you're out of the state of Wisconsin, you'll have to look into that individually.
Ben, do you have the proper licensure? Is this a process that you've gone through?
This is, yeah. It's not bad, right? And I'm relatively new to this industry, so, and after looking into everything that growers and farmers have to go through to get what they need to get done, it's a drop in the bucket. Anybody could do it.
So what's it like when you're driving a drone?
The fun thing about the drones is you don't actually need to pilot it manually. The process that we go through is essentially we define the boundary of our property and where we want sprayed. And then within that boundary, we can also identify, let's say we've got pond, water, animals, fences that we don't want sprayed. And then we just mark those areas. And the drone is smart enough to where it's going to generate a grid pattern that it's going to fly, and it's going to skip over those assets that we'd identified as non-crops and not spray those.
Finn Johnson joining us with the details to consider if you're thinking about having drone technology on the farm. Finn is an ag business manager with Madison Area Drone Service. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to the dairy farmers of Wisconsin, promoting Wisconsin's world-class dairy products since 1983. Look for their Proudly Wisconsin badge on dairy products. And to Cleary Building Corp. They protect what you value. Visit clearybuilding.com to see the Cleary difference. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Twitter.
Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are actually pretty quiet right now. Just taking a look at the March corn, that's unchanged at 470. December new crop corn unchanged right now at 502. Soybeans for January are down 3 cents, currently at 1305. November beans, new crop down 4, 1259. July new crop wheat, that's up 4.5, 632.5. The dairy markets were very bleak yesterday. We'll be talking more about that with Katie Burgess in just a moment. Barrel cheese broke through some key support areas, dropped a penny and three quarters down to 139.25. 40-pound block cheese was down three quarters of a cent at 144.75, while AA butter was unchanged. January Class 3 milk this morning is unchanged at 1560. February milk dropped a penny yesterday at 1574, a hundredweight. You know, despite the fact that dairy is looking at some challenging times, Organic Valley Dairy Cooperative out of Lafarge was adding on more farms in 2023, and they say they'll add more dairies in 2024. Shauna Nelson, Organic Valley's Executive Vice President of Membership, says that last year they brought in farms that were dropped by their milk buyers, and they expect to welcome in more dairies in 2024. She says as far as the actual breakout is concerned, they had a dozen farms from Wisconsin that joined Organic Valley, 26 farms from Pennsylvania, 22 in New York State, 6 from Ohio, several others from Indiana, Iowa, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, and Vermont. So Organic Valley looking to try to pivot and grow into 2024. Coming up next, like I said, the dairy segment yesterday under an awful lot of stress. I know it's something that Katie Burgess, one of the broker analysts with EverAg, wants to talk about. She'll join us in just a moment. Don't forget, while you've got the time, why don't you sign up for our daily e-newsletter? Then you won't miss any stories at all. Right now, some of the headlines you can pick up at MidwestFarmReport.com include that story about Organic Valley and the number of farms they added in 2023. Enrollments open for the ARC PLC program through your Farm Service Agency office. You can get a breakdown there. Also at MidwestFarmReport.com, more details on the upcoming Ag Outlook Forum on the UW-Madison campus. The theme this year, rural livability and beef quality audits. The webinars are on the way. If you want to find out more about that, like I said, best place to go, MidwestFarmReport.com, and get signed up for our daily e-newsletter. Katie Burgess on the way next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Farland, a stone's throw from McDonald's.
If she's not milking the cows, she's talking about them. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Yeah, it really is all about dairy on this Thursday morning. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke welcoming in from the EverAg team, Katie Burgess, one of the broker analysts. It's helping to kind of guide us along. Always remind you that if you're looking for these folks, maybe want to get in contact with them or follow up on a conversation, ever.ag is their website. Katie and I were kind of communicating yesterday. I always like to make sure we're set up for the day. And unfortunately, while we were talking, the cheese market was falling apart at the very same time. We blew through some critical prices yesterday as far as cheese was concerned, Katie. Did you see the train coming or did you get hit like the rest of us?
You know, Pam, it has been a bit of a surprise how much cheese prices have fallen off here. As we were heading into year end, it felt like we did have a lot of supply of cheese out there. We've been still making milk in key cheese areas. But once sub-140 for barrels, that did come as a little bit of a surprise. So just to set the stage, yesterday, locks are in the mid-140s right now. Barrels fell to 139 and change. And with that, it's looking like January milk prices for Class 3 could be below $16.
Yeah, they're already there in Chicago, I see. What is this a holiday situation, Katie, or why did we blow through 140 yesterday?
I'd say the holidays impacted a little bit in that demand is starting to slow down because even though Christmas and New Year's are still ahead of us, from a grocer perspective, all that cheese and butter already needs to be in the store. But the bigger story right now is exports. Export demand has still been slow. I mean, maybe the one silver lining of prices falling this low right now is hopefully we can get some exports booked for the new year and get some cheese moving. But it's been quiet. I got out, fingers crossed, but even at this point, it doesn't seem like we'll get any long-term sales. If we do win some, it'll be more short-term business.
What's the last cold storage report, Katie? I mean, every month it seems to fluctuate. Do we have an exceptional amount of cheese on hand?
The last cold storage numbers were as of October. There was plenty of cheese on hand. We'll actually get new numbers tomorrow afternoon, so we'll see where we sat at late November. But one of the things that's changed in the market, along with kind of these uneven demand dynamics, is that there's a new cheese plant online in Texas. And as they've had more cheese now coming to the market, so that's milk that had been being made into butter and milk powders. Now they're making more cheese with that milk, and demand hasn't increased any. So that's another reason why the market is under pressure right now.
Katie Burgess from EverEggs along with us this morning. Again, one of the broker analysts that's available if you're trying to do strategies. Ever.egg is their website. Katie, you bring up a good point. That new plant in Texas that's converting milk into a different set of products. I got a projection, I think it was from National Milk Producers yesterday, that said milk prices were looking pretty good. I think that depends what region you're in, doesn't it?
That's totally true. Right now, for producers in Wisconsin, Class 3 is under pressure because we do have all this cheese. On the flip side, for folks in other parts of the country that are paid more in Class 4, that price is going to be above $19 for December, and it's been higher the past few months. And our projection is that Class 4 prices, so Class 4 is your prices for butter and milk powders, are going to be higher through 2024 because milk is tighter, particularly in the west part of the U.S., which means that we're making less. So to me, one of the most interesting statistics is that for October, overall U.S. milk production was down a little more than 0.5%, but we still made 1% more cheese, but like 12 or 13% less milk powder. So you see a really sharp divide right now in terms of what products are we making or not making, and then that's been reflected in the pay price. So unfortunately, here in Wisconsin, where we make a lot of cheese, that means the price going back to the producers is weaker than we see in a lot of other spots.
Aside from the supply situation, Katie, is that powder market, that butter market? I mean, butter has been pretty strong over the past couple of weeks, but that powder market's not something I watch. Are they finding good demand?
No, the powder market's still been soft as well. So luckily for us in the U.S., they, our biggest powder customer is Mexico, and Mexico's had a pretty solid year, but they tend to get pretty slow around the holidays. So quiet on that front. But at a global perspective, China is really important. And because China has been importing a lot less dairy this year, it means that globally, we're lucky we still have Mexico, but for those other markets we serve in Southeast Asia or the Middle East, there's a lot of competition between us and New Zealand and Europe. Because if China's not buying, everyone else has to slug it out to win market share other places. So the powder prices right now are pretty ho-hum, right between 115 and 120. But we'll see what happens if demand picks up there. So fingers crossed for that in 2024.
Yeah, it does beg the question, like you said, U.S. production in November was flat. We hear that global milk production is almost retracting. So it does beg the question when this coin is going to flip.
Right. I think it really speaks to how soft global demand is right now for all these products, that on a year-over-year basis, China is buying a lot less dairy. Folks like South Korea and Japan, those, that's our number two and number three cheese customers. They're buying less product. And so on the global marketplace, it has been a tough year. And from globally, dairy demand had been growing for a really, really long time, but it's stalled out and it's just kind of backing up on us and weighing on producer prices around the world. But to your point, hopefully it can get going again. And then, I mean, supply is tight and we could see a sharp lift in prices once it actually picks up. But we don't know how long that will be yet.
Katie, what do you think is driving that lackluster consumer demand? Is it the economy and a tight pocketbook? Or is it preference, you know, dietary preference?
I think it's more the first. I think it's the economy. So after, I mean, China had those COVID lockdowns for a long time, and they still haven't seen their economy pick up as they've come out of those. So on China, it seems more of an economic problem. I'd say that's been true kind of across Asian nations as well. And I think also as consumers are paying more for lots of things. So grain prices had obviously been very high over the past year. Oil prices have been high every once in a while. And so for consumers where dairy isn't necessarily a necessity in their diet, and they're spending more money on some of these other products, it does leave a little less space for it. But I think if the economy picks back up, then we'll see that growth, because I do believe that global consumers do enjoy dairy.
Well, God bless you for that optimism. I appreciate it, Katie. Happy holidays, sweetie. Katie Burgess joining us live this morning. She's one of the broker analysts with EverAg, and they are at your disposal if you want to do risk management planning in these kinds of uncertain times. Of course, she's available. Ever.ag and all the team. So share our happy holiday wishes with all of them, Katie, and we'll talk with you in the new calendar year. Katie Burgess, again, joining us this morning live to let you know what's happening in the marketplace, even if it's not the best of news. Enjoy your Thursday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Down Under version of sustainability for food and agriculture. Next on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. Sustainable agriculture is an international goal. Australia, for instance, has established a 17-point plan called the Australian Agricultural Sustainability Framework. Richard Heath is executive director of the Australian Farm Institute.
We are avoiding prescriptive, narrow definitions of what sustainability is and focusing on the outcomes of what sustainable practices deliver. We've done that very deliberately because we need this framework to be able to be reported against by anyone using any practice in any sector in Australia.
One obstacle to achieving sustainability is what Heath calls hostile soils. So while no-till or minimum tillage of the soil is a more sustainable practice in most of the world, Heath says aggressive tillage is sometimes needed in Australia to spur production.
The ability to engineer the soil essentially to correct those constraints has led to, in many cases, the ability to double yields, to literally double yields. It has been absolutely transformational.
Tomorrow, aquaculture's contribution to sustainability. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
We here at WBZH The Buzz have partnered with the Hayward Chamber of Commerce to remind you to shop local this holiday season. Small local businesses are the lifeblood of the community, and preserving them is key to preserving those things we most enjoy about the Northwoods. Small businesses are the first in local employment and charitable giving, and shopping local is the best way to stimulate a small town economy. The Hayward Chamber of Commerce and WBZH The Buzz are especially thankful to those who choose local small businesses first this holiday season.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective.
Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. At the southern border, migrants are now being flown out. A plane chartered by Texas Governor Greg Abbott landed in Chicago last night.
The plane touched down at O'Hare's signature.